You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Back by popular demand, it's Suzanne.
Yay! So what did I miss?
I took a little nap. I actually fell asleep watching TV a little bit.
No falling asleep.
Yeah. No, I'm good now.
Especially with this topic, you cannot fall asleep.
Right. That's...
No. Whatever you do, don't fall asleep, Nancy.
I fell asleep, too. In the middle of the Great British Baking Show.
You guys took a nap? What the fuck?
No, well, sometimes it's hard not to...
Dude, oh my God. I feel like I missed out on something here.
Yeah, my
did you really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't. I just laid down on the couch and was watching, you know, nothing really on TV, and I just kind of dozed off for a little bit. Actually, I was watching some weird, really weird TV show or movie called Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
That is a great movie. That is not weird.
It is bizarre, dude.
That is fun. I love it.
It is fun. I'll give it that. It's fun, but it's weird. It caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it to be that odd.
You haven't seen it before?
Nope. Never seen it.
Okay. All right. I gotcha.
Admit that I watched Forbidden Zone?
Did you what? Well,
no. 20 minutes. About 20 minutes of it. Then I stopped.
Really? Are you done? Be honest. Are you done?
I think so.
I knew it. I think
somebody
yes.
owes me that time.
Vindication.
Back. Now, see, if I were 20 and watching it, you know, after a night out partying or something, like I did with Eraserhead back in 1981 or whenever it was, I might have a completely different opinion of it. But
I tell you, but, you need heavy drugs. To be watching that movie. I'm with you. I'm with you. I wish I had not seen the whole thing. You're right.
Yeah, I've watched it probably between 8 and 10 times.
I don't get that. Man. I so don't get that.
It's only because I have to commit when I say, hey, you gotta watch this movie, I have to commit to watch it with them.
Oh,
you know,
like
the guy I work with, Mike. I'm like, you got to see this movie. It's the weirdest thing. He's like, okay, I'm in. Whatever, it's bizarre.
Weird.
I could go get, he said, yeah, it was bizarre. But so I committed to watch it. But I've watched it with a few people, but I've also watched it by myself for no particular reason at all. So it's just one of those really weird movies that clicked with me as.
Is it even, qualify as a movie? It's like a film experiment.
Yeah, you know what?
Thank
That's
you.
A really good way to explain it. No, that really is. That's a good way to explain it. It's not really I mean, it's got a plot line, but it's out there. And I warn people. I say, hey, look, it is out there.
It needs a big, big, big disclaimer.
And I think I do a pretty good job of telling people, look, you know, just give it 15 minutes. If you can't make it through the 15, 20 minutes, then just, you know, don't bother watching the rest of it, because you're just not going to get it. Like, if it doesn't hook you.
I'm glad they all kept their day jobs.
So get this.
I made it through past 20 minutes, and I want my hour and a half back is what it is.
So I used to work with this girl. She worked in the office when I worked. I was a driver over at FedEx Ground. And I don't know why, but we got talking about weird movies. I'm like, hey, okay, you got to check this one out. And so I brought it in and I gave it to her, and she came back and she was like, oh my God, I love this movie. She showed like tons of her friends this movie. Now, granted, she was like what you said, Suzanne, she was like in her early 20s and kind of like still in the party scene. So they would watch it and they'd come back from wherever and I think they ripped a copy of it too. And they would come back and watch it after being out partying and just because it's that weird.
You have to be under the influence of something to
appreciate it.
Yes. Yes.
It is kind of that movie. However, I have watched it sober several times. So just saying.
And I don't get that. But I don't get that. I really don't.
It's okay.
All right, well.
One time somebody said we all have our little bit of crazy.
Yeah, this is true.
You know? So I think that might be my little bit of crazy that made me that I like it that much. It's just so weird.
Well, we'll let it go.
Okay.
But Suzanne, you may not know this, but Scott also likes the holiday special from Star Wars.
That one I have not seen. But I do remember all those corny specials from the 70s, though. It was wacky, some of the things that they would put on TV in the special, and under the guise of a special.
The guise of a special. That's exactly what that was.
It was just like throw people out in front of the camera who just don't need to be there and give them a variety show, thinking they're going to be the next Sonny and Cher. And, just doesn't happen.
Well, in the holiday special, you had Carrie Fisher going out there singing a song that was basically similar to You Light Up My Life in a weird way.
What were they thinking?
For Life Day. I mean, it was really bizarre. That's another – see, that's it's so quirky and odd. That's why I like it. So.
Great way to describe it. That's exactly it. Quirky and just wild and crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
All right.
So you were watching that tonight, really? Suzanne?
No, not tonight. Okay. Watched it a week or so ago.
Yeah, okay. Probably because I suggested it on the podcast from talking about Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. As you should.
Like, oh, geez. Wait, what next? Wait, he's in a garbage can. Wait.
A chicken down in a garbage can.
Oh my God!
Squeeze it, the chicken
squeeze
boy.
It. I think yes.
You might have made it past 20 minutes because that's pretty far. That's about halfway into the movie.
Really? All right.
The schoolhouse. Did you watch the whole schoolhouse scene?
Maybe not the whole schoolhouse thing, but they were shooting each other up in the schoolhouse and then jumping through the paper. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good place to stop. Yeah.
That is like the ultimate scene.
I was just like, okay, I get it enough now. Well, we'll talk about it. I don't know that I have to see the rest. I get the gist.
Oh wow. So you're done. You're not gonna watch the rest of that.
I don't think I need to. I don't think there's any necessity for it.
Now, Diane Franklin loved it.
Yeah, Diane Franklin loved it. So, but then again, she did Terrorvision.
When I was in my 20s, I thought Eraserhead was this really, really cool experimental thing. and that is whacked. And I don't know, like, at the word, and like, would I, if I watched it now and I'd never seen it, would I just be like, why do I have to sit through this? like, my time is more valuable now than it was then. That might be it.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I'm with you, Suzanne.
Okay. Yeah. So. Nightmares.
Right. Nightmares. Okay. Good segue.
Yes.
Dave, do you want to bring us into the show then?
I guess we have to now. Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess this is a 1980-something.
Yes.
All right.
This is 80-something podcast.
I'm live!
Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
All right, this is Bonzo Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Suzanne.
Hi.
And Scott.
Hello, everybody.
What we're doing is we are continuing our horror saga going into the Halloween time frame. And we decided to talk about the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. We are tackling our 1980s pick, which is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
The kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
You could just see cuts happening.
What did that, Lieutenant?
I don't know.
Peter!
What's the coroner got to say?
He's in the John puking since he saw it.
They're gonna kill me for sure.
Did you do it?
There was somebody else there.
He was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
No one knows where it came from or who it will visit next.
Nancy? There's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
No.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
No! No!
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails...
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
No one will survive.
Help me!
From Wes Craven, director of The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left, a new masterpiece in fantasy terror, Nightmare on Elm Street.
So, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 5, 6, grab your crucifix. 7, 8, gonna stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again.
Never sleep again.
Great way to put that. So, we are talking, what year is that? What year is
1984.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street. So, we talked about Jaws, and now we're talking Nightmare on Elm Street, another iconic 1980s horror movie. This is like so totally exciting, and the reason why I thought that this was something that was worthy of us talking about. Is what you guys may not know, and I may not have shared this, is that I was watching horror movies at this time with my mother, and she actually found this humorous. I was actually watching A Nightmare on Elm Street with my mother, and she was laughing at Freddy Krueger. And my mind was blown. It was like, it's like a shotgun through my head. Poof! It's like, my mother's laughing.
No, you're talking recently?
No, this was back in the 80s.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. And I'm like, man. I don't get that. I don't, because it was scary shit for at that point I was 14 years old. Or maybe, by the time it got on HBO or Cinemax or whatever it was, let's say I was, maybe 15, 16. And I'm watching this with my mother and she's laughing. I'm like, I don't know I don't know how to process that. how do I deal with this? Is my mom a psycho killer? What? I don't know. So that always stuck in my brain as to what happens with.
That's too bad.
When I talk about Nightmare on Elm Street, is like, why is my mom laughing at Freddy Krueger? And the other thing that was so iconic was that Freddy was everywhere. He was even hosting shit on MTV. He was such a iconic thing of the 80s. And for those of us that grew up in the 80s, we just knew Freddy Krueger was everywhere. And that's why that's one of the things that I really loved about the 80s was, you had this blend of things that were going on with horror genre, and everybody kind of got really excited into it, and there in the whole big center of it all was Nightmare on Elm Street. So to me, very iconic.
They did tend to go on forever and ever. They just kept making more and more of them. Yeah, I don't know that I saw the sequels, but
yeah, that too. But also, I mean, they even had 900 numbers that you can call and talk, and listen to the further adventures of Freddy Krueger. And it was just one of those things that just went on and on and on. And, it was just a wonderful horror hook for those of us. Yeah. So, Suzanne, what's your experience with Nightmare on Elm Street?
I saw it years ago when it was new. And I guess I was younger, but I don't know if I saw it when it first came out, because I have to think, I looked up earlier, what the age of all the actors and actresses were. And I think they were all the same age as me, So maybe when this came out, it probably was contemporary to me, but I don't think I saw it till a little bit later. So it kind of maybe missed me as a demographic target by just a little bit. But I remember thinking it was kind of cool. It was maybe elevating this whole slasher movie type of thing a little bit at the time. Although I don't think it quite makes the grade as far as acting performances and stuff from what I'm remembering. It was a cool concept. And the fact that even that first scene and that first kill when they're dragging her along the ceiling and, that was pretty neat. That was almost Exorcist-like. It's kind of funny to see it in retrospect, to see Johnny Depp in one of his first roles, I guess, when he's, just doing this very simple performance that kind of just gets you there as far as characterization and stuff. So I guess, I don't know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm remembering, I have memories of it then and memories of it now, and of course they're kind of conflicting, Does that make any sense? Am I rambling?
No, it totally does. And to hear you say that it was kind of missed the mark as far as their acting, that's great. So I don't even know where to go with that. I wasn't expecting there.
Well, I think it was probably, I said, it was it picked the genre up a bit for the time period. But looking back on it, films are so much more sophisticated now. We were going to be talking about Scream also, which is the same director, where they're almost making fun of those movies while making the same movie.
Right.
And it just seems so much more sophisticated, But this probably was much more sophisticated, cool, high concept plot at the time than most of the other slasher type, Halloween type films. So it's kind of, different to remember what it was like to watch it then and then to watch it now compared to where it kind of took the genre, I guess.
So how old were you at, 1984?
Yeah, I was 20.
20. Okay, so Robert Englund, his contribution to the horror genre, how did you feel about that?
I don't know. Maybe I was more like a Stephen King type of girl.
Okay.
You know, as I was going more for like this psychological, you know, character-driven kind of drama type of stuff, as opposed to just the screamer type of slasher movies. But I wasn't so much watching movies at that time. I was in college, but I didn't have TV.
So was Robert Englund more, was he too campy?
I guess he was a little campy, but I mean, he was gross.
Gross. Okay.
I remember people having posters, but like he was like literally like a horror movie poster boy. They people had posters of him up in their rooms.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the genre that you were into, was it more of the psychological thriller? Is that kind of what you're looking for? Is that
maybe
what you
more
like?
The Shining and you know, like I said, I was more like reading and out listening to music at that time. I wasn't like out watching too many movies. Maybe like Monty Python here and there.
Well, that makes sense. Totally.
So I might have like missed that experience of doing the teen horror movie.
So if you were to pick a quintessential horror movie from any time period, what would it be?
I might have to vote for The Shining, like I said.
Okay.
Yeah, I might have to vote for The Shining. And that was a much better book. That was like probably the best book I've ever read in my life. The Shining is an amazing book. And the movie is veers from that original book a lot, like more than I would have liked, but still in itself, it's a really cool movie. And just captures something that kind of doesn't let you go from the beginning to the end of it. So that to me was a really cool psychological paranormal horror film.
I could see that. So I guess based on your,
and The Omen. Remember The Omen? Oh my God.
Yeah, Omen was a great one. Yeah.
Freaking shit out of me.
So I get it. I get it. I see where you're coming from for your preference for horror movies, if you will. Mm-hmm. So Scott, you're the same relative age group as I am. How do you feel about Nightmare on Elm Street?
Loved it. Watched it yesterday. Was totally into it. There were parts where I laughed, but because it was so fun revisiting how I thought it was a very original take on a slasher film. You know, taking it to the supernatural level beyond, you know, not being able to kill Jason or not being able to kill Michael Myers, you know, that was kind of supernatural, but this was on a new realm. There's another movie that came out the same year. I think we might've had a little, area of where filmmakers were like trying to reach into a new area of dreams. And there was another horror movie called Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid in it. Had a similar feel where you could control, you know, you kind of control what was going on in your dreams and bring it into reality, and so it had a similar take on dreaming, and dreams are fascinating too. So that I think that's what brought a lot of people in, but I absolutely loved Nightmare on Elm Street just because. Oh man! And by the way, it is Johnny Depp's first movie. It is listed as his very first appearance. Yeah. and that was 1984. And he went on later on to do a bunch of other things, you know, like 21 Jump Street and stuff. But I could not believe how young he looked in that thing. True. It was so funny. And then when you start, like, you look at him going, man.
He can come in. He just looks like such a little little baby.
He was. He was really just a little baby kid. Yeah. Oh.
Skinny. They have him in a little half shirt.
Oh yeah, the half shirt. That's a classic 80s. That's a classic.
Classic 80s. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. A little cut off jersey.
Yeah. I had a couple of those. Not the jersey, but just a half shirt. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was before it was, you know, showing your six pack or whatever. your midriff. It wasn't. You know, that became very popular later on, but. It was more of a fashion disaster, if you ask me, back then. So anyway,
I guess he pulled it off.
Yeah. So I really got into the whole weirdness surprise that they took with the dreams and how they really made them so non-linear, you know, like
you would see
somebody, they would jump from one scene to another in a room that was not the same room, and it would completely change. And I only know this because I just watched it yesterday, and I would have never remembered all of this beforehand because I hadn't seen it in years, but a lot of it came back to me. I'm like, oh, that's so great the way they did that. Or when at one point the main character Nancy, when Nancy ran running back into her house and started going up her stairs and her feet started sinking into the stairs was just so, and they gave you that feel of like you're trying to run away, but you can't.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's experienced that in a dream where you're trying to move, but you're just, it's like moving through, you know, like you're moving through
slugging. Yeah.
You just cannot get away from whatever it is you're trying to get away from. And it may not be some horror thing. It just may just be some weird, whatever. It could be anything. Dreams are so, scattered all the time anyway. But I just really thought they did a good job of bringing that dream world into the movie and making it just freaky, and the gore is just off, out of this world, just blood, all kinds of blood. Like when Johnny Depp got killed, he got sucked down into the bed and then just this gusher of blood all over the ceiling, dripping and just craziness. Oh. It's
great. And it was dripping so against cool. gravity. It was like they must have turned the set upside down and blew the red, you know, liquid. And
I think that's how gross. They did. I think that's how they did with when they killed Tina too, because she was like rolling across the ceiling.
So
they just inverted the camera, kind of like what they did back in the 50s when I think it was Fred Astaire or somebody danced on the, you know, on the wall and then up onto the ceiling, and they just had a rotating room. I think they did a similar thing there. I think they might have done that zoom, that weird zoom like we were talking about in Jaws, the zoom in and zoom out at the same time. I think they might have utilized that special effect in this movie at one point too, if I recall.
Okay.
So overall, I absolutely love this. I think it's a classic horror flick for Halloween. It's perfect. I really don't have any complaints about it at all.
Well, there were some really eerie moments. Like it got me when she went back into her dream and her friend was talking to her through the body bag. That was
great. Oh, that was so awesome.
Gets you.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was early too, early in the movie when she was falling asleep in class. And she looks over and sees her friend in the body bag. That was like even after knowing it, you know, I'd seen it before a couple times. Even after that, I still went, oh my God, that is just, that's freaking out there. They were so good. So,
With 70s, we talked about Jaws, and we talked about a lot of things kind of being, I want to say cerebral, you know, where they, you know, you don't necessarily need to see them on screen, but you know something is going to happen, and there's like the anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the 80s movies feels like it was more of like, I'm going to show you what the fuck happened. So is that the difference? Is that what we're saying is the difference between our 70s horrors and our 80s horrors? Is the 70s kind of like, I'm going to kind of let it out there. I'm just going to kind of let you know that there's something going on here. I'm going to give you some horror music. I'm going to give you background. And then maybe I'm going to give you some setup where maybe you see scenes where you can guess what happened and it's left up to your mind. But the 80s was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to just show it to you. Here it is. Is that what it was? Was that the difference?
Or it got a little more graphic?
Yeah.
I don't know, but we were saying like that scene where Quint gets eaten. I mean, that's pretty much we're going to show you it all.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that was...
yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe
you
not
saw everything in Jaws. But, I mean, I'm thinking like back to, you know, like Psycho days where you didn't actually see, you know, what was going on, but you knew something bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, is that what has evolved from the 70s and 80s where we kind of had a, I'm going to show you a bit more, and then the 80s was just like, screw it, here's everything. Yeah.
And then it definitely progressed from there too, because now everything is just blatant gore.
Yeah.
Like all horror stuff, you know, like Dave, you mentioned you liked The Hostel, right?
Yes.
And I mean, dude, that is
just,
it's out there in your face. It's gore. Totally. But it still also screws with your head.
Yeah.
In some ways. But yeah, there's so many. I mean, look at the Saw series too, of late. You know, they just it was all about just being how gross can we get. I remember one of the Saw movies or whatever, they had some contraption where they're just taking a guy apart bit by bit with this machine that, and it was full on just how can we push the limits of being as gross as we possibly can. And I think the 80s were just the beginning of that. And the, like Nightmare on Elm Street definitely was in the forefront of that. Although if you go all the way back to Friday the 13th, the first one from, 19, I think it's 79 or 80 with Kevin Bacon, the one with Kevin Bacon in it.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a few scenes in that was pretty gory. It didn't leave a lot to the imagination. Like the arrow coming up through Kevin Bacon's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm remembering that. That was pretty gross.
So they definitely had some gore then, but I think they've gotten it much more. They've just taken it to the next level every decade. So.
Yeah, I won't really watch those kind of movies anymore. I just... overly sensitive, I think.
When did you check out, Suzanne?
I don't know. I think when I became, I've mentioned this before, I became a mother and became much more sensitive to that. I can't watch people in jeopardy. I get very upset. Young people being hurt is just not something I can put up with anymore. But,
So were you into the 80s horror movies, or were you checked out by then?
Well, then I think in the 80s I was just a little, you know, busy with other stuff. And like I said, I wasn't
college,
really.
College,
yeah. Yeah, right. In college we didn't have, you know, we weren't at movies a lot. We were more at parties. We were out dancing. And like I said, we didn't have a TV. We didn't even have a TV to watch, you know, stuff that was just on regular television, no less movies and cable and that kind of thing. So. Maybe in the summers, you know, I went on a couple of dates, You know, and that's kind of like was like the date movie at the time because, you know, you jump and then you want to have the guy wants to have you, you know, be right there to, you know, grab his arm or whatever you're going to do. But so I did see, we had said, I did see that Halloween 3D movie. I remember that. That was a funny one. But but other than that, I didn't really seek them out.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't myself into the horror genre. You know, I didn't seek that out. And it wasn't until much later, and it's like Scott mentioned, where I was like into watching things like I Spit on Your Grave and Hostel. Yeah, and it's like for some reason those movies kind of I'm like I can't turn away and not watch. It's like, you know, the you're passing by the bus that got wrecked and you're like, I can't stop looking. So, you know, those are what those movies are to me now. And but, you know, back in the '80s, you know, to my recollection, it was the my mom's laughing at Freddy Krueger. And I can't get away from that. And it's crazy.
Well, did she ever tell you what she thought was so funny about it?
No, she did not. She just thought it was, you know, his campiness. You know, I know that's what was part of it. But, you know, to me, it was just weird because, you know, here I am all of 15 or 16 years old and I'm watching a horror movie with my mother. And she is, like, laughing at the bad guy. And, like, I don't know how to process that. I just really don't. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. And that so that's my memory of it. And that's the reason why I wanted to make sure we talked about Nightmare on Elm Street is because I thought, you know, Freddy Krueger, you know, Robert Englund was just so friggin', you know, the so part of the 80s. You could not get past Robert Englund in the 80s. You know, if you saw this guy everywhere. You saw him part of commercials. You saw him part of MTV. And Nightmare on Elm Street was just there. You know, and so that's why I want to make sure that we covered it.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure back in the 80s it was one of the top-selling Halloween costumes also, that red and green sweatshirt and or sweater and the hat and the glove. Yeah. And then a, you know, a rubber mask that went along with it. I remember seeing that at every Halloween store back then. And still, you can still find it today, I'm sure.
You totally can.
Yeah. No, I just, I thought it was really, it was a fun twist on horror movies and it had an impact on pop culture as a whole, for sure, as far as horror movies go. I think it was like, you know, like Saw was huge in the 2000s, like the, you know, first decade of the 2000s. I think the Nightmare on Elm Street series was probably the one that was the most popular in that era in the 80s. You know, Halloween started in the 70s, late 70s, and had a few couple, two or three episodes. Well, one was not even really about Michael Myers at all. But I think the Freddy series just kind of took over those other horror movies from Friday the 13th and, you know, the two staples that we had at the time, Friday the 13th and Halloween. So anyway,
so if you had to pick one,
awesome movie. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had to pick one over the other, which one would you pick? Nightmare on Elm Street versus Friday the 13th.
I think I like Friday. I think I like Nightmare on Elm Street better.
Nightmare. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah. It had more of a plot. It had more of a cool concept.
Yeah. It was thinking on the edge versus just being a typical slasher film.
Yeah, and it was something you couldn't get away from. I mean, you didn't have to go to the secluded campground and.
Yeah,
in the middle of the night,
exactly.
You
know,
just fall asleep. That was it.
Yeah, you could not stop sleeping. You could not get away from sleeping. So it added a level of anxiety, I think, that That didn't exist before.
Totally
agree.
Yeah,
because you, as a person, you just can't escape sleep. You can have insomnia, like for several days on end, but you will eventually fall asleep. Your brain will shut down at some point. And that's when you can't fight it anymore. So, and that's when Freddy comes a knocking. Or does he come scraping?
Oh, great. Now I'm going to fall asleep now tonight. Great. I'm going to have problems.
Ouch.
All right. I'm up all night. That's it. I'm done.
You should have seen the dogs just now.
Oh, yeah?
They all perk their heads up with their ears up going, what the hell is that sound?
How many dogs do we have in the room?
Three.
Three?
All right. I'll have four tomorrow.
Okay.
Went and interviewed a family for Jarvis today, and that went well.
Aww.
They want two, actually. They don't have any other pets, but they thought since they have to work, you know, regular jobs, they want to have somebody, another friend. So they want two doggies to be friends. So aww, that's kind of cool.
We could get
two greyhounds. Yes, we could get two greyhounds adopted at one time.
Love it.
And that would be really cool. And the one that we're getting tomorrow, sorry, tangent alert. The one that we're getting tomorrow is actually a return that's been in a home for a year because the owner's gotten really sick and they can't take care of the dog anymore. So it's already adjusted and Jarvis is adjusted. It would just be a perfect fit if I could get them both into the same home. It would be great. Be really perfect. So anyway, enough about the dogs.
Mm. Okay.
They sleep a lot.
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot.
Wait, to give a little parallel, while Quint does that scraping thing with his nails on the chalkboard and Jaws earlier, that's a moment where I was like, turn the sound down.
See, that's funny because that was never a sound that bothered me that much.
Ooh, good. I can't even imagine the sound without, you know, shuddering.
Yeah, the sound that bothers me is when styrofoam scrapes together. That extremely high pitch. It sends something down my spine that is just I don't know what to do about it.
Styrofoam scrapes together?
Yeah, like if you take chunks of styrofoam and they're rubbing together, like if you're moving them in a box, and they really, really high pitch. It's worse than a chalkboard for me.
I wish I had styrofoam now.
Dude, I had a friend, he knew about this and he would do that to me just on purpose. I'm like, I'd have to smack him in the head every once in a while.
That's mean.
I would do it.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I love you too, man. What can I do to get on your nerves?
I'll let you know. I'm thinking about it. What was it? I don't know. Yeah, I even now I don't think I got nothing.
Okay.
All right. So Nightmare on Elm Street. Any final thoughts?
No. The rest of them all kind of were weak. All the follow ups to them.
Oh, the sequels, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I think only seen parts of the sequels, but it did keep Freddy alive, for lack of a better word, because he's not really.
No,
but he's, you know, it did keep fine. Him alive in the public consciousness throughout the decade. So
yes,
yeah, totally. It did.
And somebody must have liked them because they kept doing it over and over again.
Yeah, and then they introduced Freddy and Jason in one movie.
Yeah,
Freddy versus Jason. That was like maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Englund really just completely just rode that, you know, that boat over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, and I like that every once in a while you'd see a comedy or something throw Robert Englund in the mix and they would reference Freddy.
Yeah.
And he would be like, oh, come on, do we have to talk about that again? You know, Because he's play like he's playing himself or something in some movie. I can't remember what it was, but I recall something like that happening in a movie.
Whatever else he's done, people don't even like recognize it. Like for a long time, I didn't know what he actually looked like, that actor. So.
Oh right.
Wait a minute. He's done other stuff.
Who knows what the heck he was doing? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Hard to tell.
I've got nothing.
Maybe he didn't have to do anything after that. You know, I'm sure he made a very good living.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure movies. he rode that train.
I'm not surprised they used the same guy over and over again, because you can make anybody up to look like that. I mean, every Halloween there were 12 billion Freddies. So.
Yeah.
Would you dress up as Freddy, Scott?
Only if I could take this microphone with me, Dave.
And I went to Spooky Fest in yeah, I'm geeky too. You forget in Florida last year because, all right. See, here's the thing. My mother is this like sci-fi scary movie freak and X-Files fanatic.
Really?
And there was
I love the X-Files.
That's oh, the X-Files are great. The X-Files are great. All right, so she finds out there's going to be this X-Files reunion at Spooky Empire or Spooky something or other down in Orlando, and she goes and she gets tickets. And I was like, oh, God, I can't let my mother go to the X-Files reunion alone. So me and my daughter flew down there with her. So the three of us went to Spooky Empire. And there were tons of people.
I would totally be on board with that. I would be like, sign me up.
Cool. It was so much fun. I should show you pictures. But there were Freddy Krueger's and there were a ton of Jason's because I think the remake had just come out. Because it was just like last fall. In fact, it was like right before Halloween. It was about a year ago around this time. And that was great. It was gory. It was hysterical. So, you know, and my mother got to speak to David Duchovny at a Q&A.
Really?
Love it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. You should. She's hysterical.
So Freddy versus Jason came out in 2003, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I never saw it.
Jason, yeah, I never
hasn't died. He made it into the new millennium.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so this sounds like a great way to end the podcast. So what we're going to do is remind you that we have a website out there. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI RetroClub.com. So if you want to follow along our social media endeavors, please go out there and do that. If you want to drop us a email, that's at McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. If you want to follow along, I recommend Twitter and maybe Instagram, because that's where we seem to do the most stuff. So, Scott, what about you? What do you have on social media?
Twitter's probably the best way to. I'm getting more and more. I'm getting more Twitter-pated.
Twitter-pated. Love it.
I'm so sorry.
That's good. I like it, too. Got a nice ring to it.
You don't remember that phrase from Bambi?
Twitter pated? No.
It means horny.
Bambi. I was saying to myself, Bambi? What?
Twitter
no wonder
pated?
I don't know Bambi.
Yes. So Thumper, the rabbit, is he's getting very excited when he meets a female rabbit. And he's, you know, kind of just showing a lot of, you know, he's being very amorous towards her, and they called it Twitter pated. So I always took it as horny because they're rabbits and they do it like rabbits.
Okay.
And I am at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter because I am Twitter pated.
Oh my.
And I stopped drinking like 2 hours ago. So I haven't had a drink in a while. So.
No, I've got bourbon right next to me. So go ahead.
Yeah.
I drank tea.
Tea?
Well, there we go. Sorry.
I do share our stuff on Facebook too. from the Bonsai stuff. So every time we post a new episode, I do share that. So you can find us through that. Facebook, either Bonsai Retro Club or myself and Scott Compton or stuff like that. Scott Compton Photography on Facebook too, but I don't really post that much on there anymore. I've been distracted from my photography stuff, so I'm more into podcasting now.
Distracted from photography. That's my fault.
It is your fault.
It totally is. Dave. It totally is. So, Suzanne, no whiskey, really?
Yeah, sorry.
We totally need to get you in there. Ginger tea, what?
Yeah. Ginger snap tea, which I bought this afternoon, which is pretty good. What the heck? But no alcohol. Maybe I should have spiked it. Huh?
I don't know where to go with that.
And then I would have been Now, you think I giggle a lot now?
Give her a couple of shots of whiskey.
Forget it. It's a whole new story. There have been people who have been like, I don't even know what your real voice sounds like, Suzanne. All I hear is giggling.
All right, Suzanne, so what is your social media credentials?
Social media, SuzanneMattaboni.com. That's my website, and I've got the 80s music blog going, where I share a lot of our podcasts. Suze Mattaboni, or at Suze Mattaboni on Twitter, and Instagram, Suzanne Mattaboni 80s. And I can share some of our retro 80s stuff that we've been doing on any of those. And yeah, looking to bulk up the followers, so have fun.
All right. Pop quiz. Scott, play spell Mattaboni.
Mattaboni.
Good.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm awesome. I'm cheating because her website's up in front of me right now.
Oh, you total cheater.
But that's right, because you don't want to get it wrong and announce it wrong to people, and then nobody knows where they're getting it.
I was just trying to see if you had posted anything recent on the blog.
No, I've actually had a lot of kind of busy week at work, so I haven't gotten to put anything new up there, but I'll get around to it.
Okay. I look forward to it because it's fun.
Oh, great. That's great.
So I keep checking your website to see if 1982 Music Talk is out.
Yeah, I better get on the stick with that one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. Cool. All right. Okay. Are we going to record tomorrow too, or are we going to take tomorrow off?
You have your
art fair thing, don't you?
Book fair, yeah.
So everybody, for your listener, thank you for listening. Have excellent whatever, and I don't know.
Be whatever to each other.
Yeah, be whatever to each other. Bye bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!